Well, let's look at pride this morning. Since none of you have that problem, we thought we wouldn't step on any toes this morning, right? Pride. Pride's not always a bad thing, right? We say, well, I have my pride, and that usually motivates us towards something that's positive, hopefully. So not all pride is sinful. There's kinds of pride that are not sinful. And that's because we have different uses for the word pride in different contexts. So it can be negative or positive. So of course, I will focus on the negative this morning. There are a couple examples of the positive. Let me give those first. There's pride in others, right? You can take pride in others. Paul does that in 2 Corinthians 8:24. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason of our pride in you so that the churches can see it. So there is that. When you see a positive thing in someone else, the outcome of their growth spiritually, that's something to take pride in. There's also pride in achievements, right? We do something well, we can be proud of that. There's nothing wrong with that. Galatians 6:35. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. So in the essence of being proud in our achievements, it's not in comparison to someone else. Then it would become negative. But as long as we're looking at ourselves and being, you know, we're happy with what we've done hard work, we've achieved something, that's a good reason to be proud of yourself. You know how it goes, right? It's not bragging if it's true, not boasting if you can do it. As long as you're not comparing yourself to anyone else, right? So there's all that. That's the positive part of pride. Let's look at the negative pride, because that's what you're all here to learn about, right? God's view of pride. God calls pride sin, right? God calls it sin. Proverbs 21:4, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin. So God calls it sin and he doesn't like it. He hates it. Proverbs 8:13, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. So why do you think God hates pride?
It's a barrier to, you know, if we have pride in our, then we don't feel the need for God, so it becomes a barrier to
accepting a value system.
Yeah,
it's always going to come back down to that particular issue, issue of value system, isn't it? What does, you know, when we have pride and its relationship to our value system, and there's one other thing, all theology is relational. So let's look at pride in terms of what does it do to your value system and what does it do to relationships? Really, that's, you know, what you always should be focusing on when you think about theology, those two things. What does it have to do with value system? What does it have to do with relationship? So what are the aspects of pride, you know, that are destructive to value system and relationship?
Pride elevates you above the others.
Right.
Which is in direct contradiction to sacrificial love for the benefit of others.
That.
Yes,
putting yourself first. What does it do to relationships? I mean, have you ever known anybody that's, like, proud? I've never really met that many proud people. Think about those people that you met that are proud, and what does it do to your relationship with that person, or what kind of relationship do you have with a person like that?
It's tricky. If you offend that pride, then the relationship's cut off.
Okay, so... All right, they might make you feel lower, and it does affect the relationship if you step on that person's pride. What else is involved with pride in terms of relationship with God? Giving yourself credit instead of God for the positive things, that's right. Okay.
Actually, going back to the first one, I remember Jessica was talking about her grandma and didn't want to go into an assisted care situation because of her pride. And so, you know, you can't even help someone because of their pride.
Yeah. One of the things that come up with pride are independence and stubbornness. Those are two things. Those are two of the symptoms of pride. Independence and stubbornness. Both actually are very damaging to relationship. And always, you know, always when you want to get a bigger insight into some aspect of sin, go back to the Garden of Eden, right? Always go back to it. And you look at the relationship Adam and Eve had with God before and after the fall, and with other before and after the fall. That's the thing you will always see. What happens in their relationship with God? They want to be independent of Him. That part is having your own value system. They also, you know, that issue of stubbornness. We want to do it our own way. We don't want to listen to other people. We always have the right idea. That's part of what you see in a person who's proud. Selfishness is a part of the problem with pride. And we don't care for other people. We like to care for ourselves. And then, in essence, rebellion. Rebellion is what pride is all about. That's what happened in the garden, right? That's what happened all through Scripture. You look at different people who are proud, and you see the rebellious attitude that they have toward God and toward other people. That's what comes with pride. And all of these are related to your value system, every single one of these things. We also know that God doesn't only hate pride, but He also opposes the proud. He opposes them. It's like, do you want God to be against you? Just be proud. It'll work. It'll work out in the end. He'll be against you. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Last fall, we did a sermon on humility. Now we get to look at the flip side. Look at Daniel 5:20. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. Speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, you know, God opposes the proud. What does pride do to a person? Let's look at some of the things. You know, it's kind of like this goes in a circle. You have pride and bad things happen to you. You change. You become more of this negative person. And then you become more proud sometimes because of it. And you get in this circle. What does pride do to a man? Pride makes a person worldly and self-willed. Worldly and self-willed. In other words, the more proud you are and rebellious against God's value system you are, guess what? The more you will continue to rebel against His value system and keep on adopting the value system of the world. That's why selfishness keeps on growing in a person who's proud. Romans 12:23, don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's 12:2-3. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. You know, when we come closer to Him, we are able to adopt His value system, which is a revelation of His will. Then he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. See, the proper outlook of who we are is very important. When we get that wrong, we start becoming more and more worldly. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, this is the thing. The more you love the world, the more your love for God diminishes. Why is that? It's because it's a value system thing. What does it mean to know God and to be like Him? To adopt His value system. That's what Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is becoming more like Him. It is adopting His value system. So the flip side is the more you become like the world and its thinking, I will live for me and this, you know, I'll do good for myself and the people around me, but who cares about anybody else? The more you do that, the farther you get away from God. The love of the Father is not in you. And then he describes what are the things that move you from God's value system to your own value system or the value system of the world. He tells him like this. The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father but from the world. These are the things that Adam and Eve faced in the garden. They looked at the tree and said, it's good for food, it satisfies the lust of the flesh, it will make me wise, it will make me able to choose my own value system. And it's exactly what happened. It was exactly what happened. But it led them away from God's value system to the world's value system, and suddenly Adam and Eve found themselves in conflict with each other. And so they started blaming each other. That's another one of the symptoms of pride. You get to blame other people for all the things that are going wrong. It's their fault. It's never your fault. So pride then creates disunity, another thing that pride does to people. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with one another. Don't be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. See, as you elevate yourself, suddenly all those people beneath you, you can't have unity with them. It's a huge problem among people who are proud. They see all the people that they won't associate with. Pride leads to selfishness and conceit. And in Philippians 2:3, Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. See, you cannot serve other people if you're proud. If you're proud, you won't serve them. You can't serve them. And what is God's value system? It's all about service, right? Sacrificial love for the benefit of others. So when you become proud, you will stop doing the very things you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. You will stop having God's value system. That's what pride does. Completely destroys God's value system within you. Pride blocks one's ability to see themselves honestly. Proverbs 26:12. To see a man wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. But think about, how would you put wise in your own eyes in another way? How would you say that in a different way? Somebody who's wise in their own eyes. It's another way of saying that. And a person that thinks they're right all the time, yeah. Why do they think that? Because they make the rules. In other words, they have created their own? That's right. Being wise in your own eyes comes from creating your own value system. That's exactly what happens. What did the devil in the garden say to Eve? You will become wise if you eat this, right? You will create your own value system. That's what it's all about. A person who's wise in their own eyes has created their own value system and they live by it. That's what it means to be wise in your own eyes. To be humble is to take God's value system and leave it. To create your own value system and live it will make you wise in your own eyes. It'll make you proud and lead to ruin in all these ways that we're talking about. You will not see yourself properly in the eyes of God. And then the more you live by your own value system and think that that's the right value system when it's in conflict with God, the more you will keep thinking you're right and the more everybody else around you will be annoyed by you because they will see you as you truly are. See, God's value system, what God's value system does to a person is the more you live it, guess what happens? The more you honestly see yourself and the more you honestly see each other. That's what happens. That's what happens. It clears the thinking and the mind. Lets you evaluate people honestly. Pride gets down in the heart. This is what Mark 7:18-22. Jesus says, "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach and then out of his body. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of man's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these come from inside and make a person unclean." That's what happens. It's the pride in the heart. And all those things that are listed there are your own value system, the value system of the world. The world looks at those things and says, hey, if you can get away with it. God's value system says, no, these are terrible things. Where does pride come from then?
Our fallen nature.
Our fallen nature, right? Where else? There's different sources of different kinds of pride. There's the pride, the value system of the world, right? So when we adopt the value system of the world, the more we're interacting with the value system of the world, adopting it for our own, we'll see the pride come out of that. We just talked about that. There's also a pride that comes in self-righteousness. This is, the Pharisee that stands there and he's praying to God. So, God, thank you that I'm not like the other sinful people around here, right? Thank you that I'm not like the tax collector and the adulterer. So he was looking at himself and his own righteousness and becoming very proud. And again, if you stand in God's value system, you evaluate yourself correctly and you look at other people correctly. But if you're trying to live a value system that even says, I will earn God's favor by my works, you will be elevated in pride. You'll become proud and you'll look down on other people. So again, you can see the problem of law and what it does, legalism, what it does in opposition to God's value system. It tears you down. Knowledge, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs ourselves up. We think, oh, I know all about this thing. And the more you get puffed up into your own thinking, the more you stop listening maybe to other people or being able to gain knowledge from them or advice or wisdom from them. But love, God's value system, right, builds other people up. See, when we become very proud of our own thinking and our own knowledge, then we become elevated in ourselves. We don't need anybody. We become independent, stubborn, and rebellious. And we stop serving other people. Another place pride comes from is inexperience. Inexperience in 1 Timothy 3:6, so talking about somebody who's going to be in leadership in the church, he must not be a recent convert or he may become conceited. That's like pride, right? And fall into the same judgment as the devil. And this is why we know this to be true, that because you know how that all 18-year-olds know so much more than 50-year-olds? No names. But, you know, you're not 18 yet. You're almost there. You almost will be the sum total of all knowledge and wisdom. Then it's all downhill after that. Yeah. But you know how that is when, you know, a person's young, the inexperience of life, you think you know a lot about things, and then you find out, boy, were you wrong. And
as you get older, you find out how much your parents really knew.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Just because you're 50 doesn't mean you're wise. I wasn't saying that. I was just making a comparison. I'm pretty sure that most 50-year-olds have a long way to go, too. But there is the thing that inexperience sometimes makes us think, you know, we don't know how much we don't know. Therefore, we think we know it all. And our inexperience leads us to have pride. And then as we get older, we begin to realize that we need to be more humble because we don't know as much as we thought we did. Power makes people proud, too. Having power and the seeking of power, that makes people proud and dangerous because they still have all the other problems of a proud person. But then when they have the power that they have succeeded in achieving, then they take out that wrong value system on everybody else around them. But sometimes people think that because they've achieved a position of power, and it could be just being a business or something, that suddenly they know things, that they're wise or that they're good just because they have power, and that doesn't necessarily follow. It's like wealth making, somebody who has wealth thinking that they're special, and that is the source of a pride for a lot of people, wealth. This is a story of Hezekiah from the Old Testament. First, 2 Kings 20. Hezekiah received the messengers and showed them all that was in his storehouses, the silver, the gold, the spices, and the fine oil, his armory, and everything found among his treasures. There's nothing in his palace or in all his kingdom that Hezekiah did not show them. So he had these visitors from Babylon, and he wanted to show how great he was, so he was demonstrating all the wealth of his kingdom. And after these guys go away, the prophet came to him and said, it won't be very long and they'll be back for it. He's like, oh, what did I do? You know, because that's the side that he was being proud of the wealth that he had and God was going to take it away from him. Another source of pride is unthankfulness. Unthankfulness makes us proud. In fact, it makes us a lot worse than just proud. It makes us bitter and grumpy and miserable. But it makes us proud. In Deuteronomy 8, God is speaking of the people of Israel when they come into the land. When you've eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good he has given to you. Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God, failing to serve his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving to you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. See, everything we looked on the list, whether it's wealth or or knowledge, whether it had to do with their own value system, you know, when they experience the blessing, when God blesses you, if you do not thank him for it, you have a tendency to think that you are the source of all the blessing in your life instead of him. And that is a very dangerous place to be. There's a couple other little points I want to wrap up with. The next one is hidden pride. Hidden pride is the pride that you can have, but you don't even know you have it. Surprise. One is shy pride. It's like, I'm the shy person. The shy person, right? Most people think of a proud person as that overt, in-your-face, boasting, you know, that kind of guy. But pride comes at the other extreme. The extremely shy person is also proud. Shy pride is hidden because you don't see it as easily. But what is it? That shy pride, what that is, the person who's really shy or at least hides behind that facade, is the person who fears rejection. And so they hide behind masks and walls. They're afraid. And so they become shy. And they don't have to be who they really are. They don't have to let anybody see who they are. It's because they're too proud to take the risks that will bring freedom to them. The person who is shy doesn't go and take risks to be who they are because they're afraid. And so they remain trapped behind masks and walls. And they need to find out that the shyness often comes from, there's personality, but then there's the extreme ones that comes from pride. And as you deal with that, you learn you can have a freedom in being who you are, and you will be accepted. Because pride tells us lies. Pride lies to us. When we get pride within our lives and our hearts, it lies to us. We're led to believe that humility will bring disgrace. You know, if people really knew who I really was, it would be so disgraceful. But the Bible says it's pride that brings disgrace. It's pride that brings us. Proverbs 11, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. You know, there's that freedom in being who we are and the freedom in the relationships. So how do you deal with pride? There's a few different ways. Humility before God. You know, that we have to recognize His place in our life, adopt His value system, be willing to change according to that. We humble ourselves before the Lord. It says He will lift us up, James 4:10. That's what we need to do. We need to adopt His value system, start living by it. And then the second is humility before men. 1 Peter 5, it says, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and He may lift you up in due time. When we recognize our place before other people and not try to show how much better we are than everyone else, but rather stop and learn and listen from other people, we will have better relationships. And we will stop being proud. And we'll be freer. And people will actually like us more. Many good things that come from that. James 3 says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. See, if we're first of all humble before God, what we do is we adopt His value system. That's very important, because with His value system comes wisdom. That's really the source of what wisdom is all about. So you know, it's hard to separate wisdom and ethics. It's the same kind of thing, right? God's wisdom and God's ethics are really the same thing. If you want to be wise, it means to be like Him and to adopt His value system. As you do that, the good deeds of your life will be known, but you'll also become wise in your thinking and in your relationships. Because all theology is relational, and wisdom is primarily relational as well. The next thing, too, is also to remember how you got to where you are. And the section on that is Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And there's really a good explanation here of the things we need to look at in our lives and how we recognize what we once were and now what we are and what the source of that is. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. These are all good things, right? You say, wow, a person that does that is humble and kind, and we like those kind of people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. That's what pride does to you. That's the kind of relationships you get from it. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, the change and transformation comes because of the work of God in you. And if you don't recognize that, you won't be thankful. And you will look down on other people, and you'll criticize them and complain against them, and wonder, why aren't they where you are today? Well, you are where you are today because of the grace of God. Never forget that. And the other thing that helps you deal with pride, especially if it's the shy pride, stop hiding behind boastful masks. Take the risks that are necessary to be free. See, both sides of pride, the boastful person and the shy person, are doing the same thing. They're hiding who they really are behind a mask. On the one hand, it's this boastful, self-confident mask. The other is this, oh, don't look at me, I want to just disappear into the wallpaper mask. And you have these two aspects, but it's the same problem. Both people are not wanting to take risks in order to be free. And they don't want to take the risk because they're afraid, they're fearful in relationship. That fear goes away when we're humble before God and we begin to adopt His value system. Changes us. Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians that, you know, he can do all things through the strength that comes from Christ. He doesn't have to boast in his strengths, but he can boast in his weaknesses, because that's the source of the power and strength in his life. That is what we want to seek out. We want to let God's glory shine through us. And it doesn't come through boasting in how great we are, but it comes from boasting in how much changed to be like Him we are. And it's not from us, but it's from Him. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you come to free us from ourselves and the pride that stands up and blocks our relationships with each other. You came to free us and to change us, to mold us into how you are. And we pray that you will give us the freedom to not hide behind boasting or behind being shy, but to really be transformed into your likeness, so that we can just stand free and open before others, knowing that you have loved us first and brought this change in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.